Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Welcome to Pit Pass Moto, the show that brings you interviews with the motorcycle industry insiders and racers that make the sport move. I'm Clint Esposito.
And I'm Heather Wilson.
So today we have on a guest that I actually know a little bit, not super well, but if you've ever watched Moto Triple X, Colby Raja's film Narnia, he's basically the filmer and editor behind all that stuff. But before that, we're going to talk about our weekends. We both had very exciting weekends, right, Heather? What'd you get into?
Yeah, we were both out of state. I was in Georgia, and I was at the ATV Motocross National. I have a client that I write a race report for in that series, and my fiance does suspension, so he was there working on a bunch of ATV shocks. And we just got back this morning at 1 a.m., but it was a really good weekend in Georgia. It was crazy hot on Friday and Saturday, and then pretty cold and rainy on Sunday. So it was quite a weather change when we were down there.
Yeah, we were in South Carolina, so we had the same thing. The first couple of days we were there were really good. Luckily, we broke the ramp down and stuff Saturday night before it rained, because we did get a shower on Saturday night. And then I looked at the weather and it was like rain all day Sunday. So I'm like, oh good, the rest of the loading up will be in the rain. And I started having flashbacks of trying to get my ramp out of my parents' house out of the mud. So I woke up at 5:30 to start like loading the rest of the stuff in and pull my ramp out of like the dirt area that it was in. So Sunday was very long. Yeah, we made it back here like noontime-ish today, took a nap, and we're good to go.
Good to go. Yeah, the weather when you're like camping or at an event somewhere, it's always difficult to like know, like, what can I pack up, but do I still need it? Like, you're trying to pack up because you know it's going to rain, but you still need all the stuff outside. And then when we were like fairly packed up, it started storming like pretty good. And there's nothing like sketchier than being in a camper and it's storming and lightning and the camper's rocking and you're like, oh, I hope everything's going to be okay.
So we did the Two Wheels to Freedom Fest this past weekend, and we had some people camping all the way down at the bottom of the hill. And I'm just like, is anybody stuck? Who do we need to pull out? But apparently everybody got out of there. And the road in and out was graveled. But like I said, where I was sitting was just like a dirt pad. Other than that, it was a really fun weekend. We had an airbag there, a freestyle motocross airbag. So a lot of the guys, and there was a kid there named Bentley who literally rode all day, every day, because apparently he gets to see like Josh Hill ride and some of those guys. So he was trying his knack-knacks and his no-footers and everything else. You could tell he had skill. He was probably maybe the least sketchy kid person there the whole time.
And the one with the most energy, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't stop him. I was tired. I was like, man, that kid has hit that ramp like 4,000 times this weekend. But it's good to be able to provide something like that, where basically he felt comfortable jumping the ramp because it was close, and then it was to an airbag. So he progressed a little bit, did one footers, then no footers. Then I didn't get to see it. He was trying knack-knacks for a while. Somebody said he actually got his foot over the seat the one time. So I'm like, just pumped that we could help some progression. And, you know, I guess that's what it's about, right? Providing a place for kids or anybody, just people in general, to kind of like explore and try to push their limits a little bit safely.
Yeah, it's cool when in any sport you can see people that are like really motivated to get better and they just want to spend every minute of every day practicing and giving that opportunity to do so. So that's pretty cool this weekend.
Yeah, we also had a bunch of bikers. So it was like street bikes and dirt bikes. So on the biker side, we did have some bikers show up and then we had biker games. My wife and I competed in some till I realized I had to build my firewall to ride through like in a couple hours.
Not like an internet firewall, like a
no.
real flaming
yeah.
fire, wall of fire.
And let me tell you, we just picked up grass around there. So it was like hay, basically. The last time I messed up, I bought straw. People, if you're going to do firewalls, don't use straw. It doesn't burn very good. So we had regular like hay and we stapled it to the boards and everything. And that thing, there was a big fire. Said afterwards, I was like, does anybody smell burnt hair? And they're like, you don't have any. And I'm like, I don't have any on my neck either now because I think that got singed off of there.
But, so there's no fireproof suit that you're wearing. You're just in riding gear.
Well, no, I have street riding pants on. So they're like slide resistant and stuff and mainly cotton. And then I have a leather jacket on.
Gotcha.
And I do wear the full face street bike helmet because I hit it one time with a moto helmet and found out quickly that the flames just shoot into your mouth. So I was like, all right, noted. No dirt bike helmet for this.
Sounds like a good time.
But oh, and the jump went good. Oh, here's a good story with my Harley jump. So I bought a brand new battery because I had a battery issue. And then I go down there, I jump it like, I don't know, five times or something. And then the one time I jump and I land off of the end and my bike shuts off for a quick second and starts back up. So I was like, okay, that's weird. So then I run like back and forth past the ramp to make sure there's nothing wrong. Jump it again, come off of the downside and the bike just shuts off and that's it. It won't start back up. So we're take half of the body panels off of it, go through all the connections, all the fuses. I ask like everybody around who has any idea, and we end up eventually pulling the battery out, and it was a brand new firepower lithium battery, and you could shake it like a maraca, and there was pieces floating around inside of the battery broke. So then I had to go to Walmart and just with measurements and be like, this is about how big we need this battery to be.
That's random. Do you think like the hard landing like impacted it?
I do. In the front side was just the frame. It was pretty tight in there, so it shouldn't have been moving around that much. But I think in the front part was the frame and I didn't have any of those foam pieces on there. I think maybe it just slapped against the front there because you got to figure they're running them in these dirt bikes that you see flip across the stadium floor and then they pick them up and that thing starts back up. So it's like, what happened here? Made the jump happen. Got the firewall was good. Firewall was hot. Made the jump good.
It was hot.
Well, the one time it burnt out and then because I waited too long and the flame, it got real big. I was like waiting for it to get bigger and then it just started fading. I'm like, oh no, just drive through it.
Well, I'm glad you didn't catch on fire and that your firewall was awesome. So I'm going to have to see pictures of that later.
I will send pictures and videos. We got full.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so today we are welcoming our guest. If you have ever seen the On the Pipe series, if you ever seen Twitch, All Natural 420. If you've ever seen Moto Triple X, you've seen the work of this guy, Jay Schweitzer.
Thanks for having me on the show.
We just like to talk to people, all facets of the motorcycling industry here. And I know that, like we said, you've been a part of many firsts working with Red Bull and I believe Quarter Pipes. Weren't you initially one of the people that originally did the Quarter Pipe?
I've documented the first.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I guess as far as, you know, being behind the scenes with the camera, I've definitely been there for a lot of firsts.
So you went to college for filmmaking?
Actually, I went to Sierra Nevada College. It was like a four-year private school in Lake Tahoe, Incline Village, SNC. And I actually went to school for business because I really didn't know what the hell I wanted to do. And then about midway through, once I kind of injured myself snowboarding a bunch, I started taking editing and filming classes. And then simultaneously, I did an internship for MacDog Productions, Mike McIntyre, kind of my OG mentor. And that's kind of really where it all started for me, you know, just kind of filming some snowboarders on the mountain. And that was a great, you know, 4 or 5 years there from about 1993 to 97.
And then how did you transition over to moto stuff?
Yeah, right when I was in the phase of kind of graduating from college and I was psyched on learning as much as I could from filming and editing. And I had done another internship with this guy, Steve Mitchell at eMedia Studios. I kind of had this idea that, I mean, I was super into, just growing up, I was always into like punk rock music. And so I wanted to make this music video that was like all these different live band performances, like my favorite bands and stuff. And so a good friend of mine, Jamie Ibon, him and his brother, Jamie, they used to design all the like graphics for like the big semis for a bunch of the race teams. They used to design shoes and gear for O'Neill and a lot of different motorsports brands. And so I was just kind of over at Jamie's house one day and telling about my idea to make this documentary on these different bands and intercut like a live performance with a different action sport. So I was like, yeah, I want to film like 8 to 10 of these bands. And then we're going to intercut it with a different sport. And he's like, oh, you got to meet my friend Kurt. He has this company called Moto Triple X. Really, at that point, I didn't really know much about the industry. Obviously, I had seen some movies and I had seen a Crusty and I had seen a Moto Triple X. And I think even a like a LBZ Chrome or something at that point. And I was like, whoa, these guys are kind of nuts. And so I met with Kurt, pitched him on my idea, and he's like, let's go. We started working on this music video, and then we brought in Jordan Burns from Moto Triple X. And, you know, Jordan really was the guy who knew all the bands. And so he lined up all the bands, and Kurt and I shot primarily on 16 millimeter film. Next thing you know, we're shooting every major punk band out there from Bad Religion, NOFX, Pennywise, Suicidal Tendencies, Sex Pistols, you name it, dude. If there's a top punk rock band out there, we pretty much filmed them. We put that movie out in 2001. It took us a while. We put that movie out in 2001. It was called Eargasm.
I remember that.
Yeah. And that was really my first movie that I produced and co-directed along with Kurt and Jordan. And simultaneously, while I started making that music video, one day Kurt Haller, he's like the director of Moto Triple X, of the movies. I mean, he's the main guy. He ran the race team, just handled all the major deals. While we were working on the music video stuff in that first summer, I started working with him. One day he called me up and said, hey, do you want to come out and shoot some stills with me, some still photos? I'm going to this guy, Mike Sinkmar's house. And so, you know, we went out to his house out in Apple Valley. Kurt had hired Brian Manley to build this. Still have never seen anything to this date quite like this design, but it was like a 360-degree like dome hit, right? So you could hit it at any angle that you wanted. And he brought Enslow out. He brought Pastrana out. He brought the top dudes out, but Sink was the only guy who cleared it from the peak to peak, the biggest, gnarliest part. And I was pretty blown away at that point. I was shooting still photos and I just remember saying like, wow, these guys are fucking animals, you know? And so that was really my first taste of shooting any moto. And that's really kind of how I got my start.
What's it been like from like the beginning where you first started filming until like now? Obviously technology, the gear, the editing process, everything is probably transformed so much. Like what was it like in the early days versus now?
Yeah, well, I came in at the very, very beginning days of digital editing. The guys who did it before me, I mean, the legendary filmmakers, you know, like Bruce Brown and Warren Miller and stuff. And they used to actually edit the 16 millimeter film negative reel to reel. In college, Sierra Nevada College, that's when I learned how to use, at that time it was, I believe I was on Final Cut or was I on Adobe Premiere? I don't remember, but I was learning it in college. And so when I went to go work with Kurt, I convinced him, I said, hey, this is the new wave. We got to go digital. And we, at that time, edited, I think, Motor Triple X3 on Media 100, which is a digital thing. So for me, I've been kind of working with the digital thing from the beginning. Yeah, things have got better and obviously graphics and all that stuff, but the timeline base and the way it works for me has been the same.
How did you go about like writing the storylines for those different films?
Back then, we didn't really have storylines, you know? If you look at the early videos of Krusty and Moto XXX and Terra Firma and LBZ, nobody had storylines.
It was just a bunch of clips.
It was what we like to call action porn or moto porn. You know, it's just basically you just put all your best clips in there and you edit it and time it to the beat of the music. And that's what you did back then.
It's almost like the YouTube of today. Like you're just putting a bunch of clips online for people to watch.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like I said, the legends before had storylines like Bruce Brown, you know, who's obviously the most successful moto filmmaker of all time. You know, he had a storyline, I think, you know, and the Warren Miller, and there's a couple other people who did storylines.
On Any Sunday, you're talking about with Bruce Brown.
Yes. Yeah. On Any Sunday and Endless Summer, his other cult classic that he did. But other than that, like I said, if you look at those OG movies, nobody was really, Krusty never did a storyline. Like they traveled places, but it wasn't really a storyline, you know, so.
Just segments.
Like, I think back then, that's kind of what they needed, though, right? Because those videos, they kind of revolutionized the sport at that time. And that's what got people amped to go ride was those videos. So I can't say for sure, but I don't know if back then the audience was mature enough to handle a storyline. You know,
we weren't. I was the prime audience. I would have been like, oh, what is this story? Although I did love Fresno Smooth, which is about the only storyline moto movie. Now.
Yep, and that was a great film by Troy Adamidis and Adam Barker. That was legendary. But you know, that was kind of a comedy thing. I mean, with Moto Triple X and Krusty, the one thing that both those movies had is they did have funny skits. Right. And so that was as close to a storyline as you would get. It kind of broke up the monotony of just the straight action.
Can you find all these movies like online now? Like, can you stream them? Or are they, you got to go find the DVD player?
I'm not sure if you can find the Moto XXX ones. I mean, I'm sure you can on YouTube and stuff, but I don't know. You'd have to do a search on some of those. And I'm sure they're out there. You know, I'm sure someone's uploaded them on YouTube.
We, for my other podcast, we watch a bunch of old FMX footage, and like there are a handful of guys that literally have like everything on VHS and then they've been posting it. So like there's so much old footage and videos like popping up on YouTube now.
That's cool.
Yeah, definitely. So
everybody's celebrating the golden years of FMX right now, it seems like the old behind the scenes and, you know, events and video stuff. I think FMX got into a weird place where people are just like looking back for some reason.
Everything goes through a cycle. It's like old fashion coming back around too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, those days, at least for me, were the most fun days because they're honestly, as far as like making a movie, there was no pressure because it was still all pretty new and the sport was developing so quickly and the tricks. It's like every week there was a new trick or new this or new that. You know, and then the parties, dude, it was like before it became all corporate, you know, and before the energy drinks were involved. I mean, look, it's been great to have, you know, the energy drinks come in because, you know, put an influx of money and marketing dollars into the sport to produce bigger events, better content, and just honestly put the sport in a mainstream place that it wasn't quite there before, you know? So, but I just remembered like how crazy it was back then. And like, you know, when Moto first got inducted into X Games and the after parties and just how nuts it was. I mean, just anything went, you know, it was nuts. So I do miss those days.
I think it's a little bit, probably mostly the corporate thing, but also the fact that the stuff that they do in their runs, there's so much gnarlier that you really can't be hung over like we were in the beginning of FMX when you just had to do like a no footed can and a Superman seat grab.
Yeah, no, the progression. I mean, it's been incredible to just watch the progression from, you know, when I first started documenting the sport in 97 to now. I mean, I think that's like, I don't know, 26 years or something like that. So it's been insane just see where the sport's at. And, you know, just when you think like, oh man, everything's been done. Nope, someone's going to come out with something new and better, you know, a better trick or whatever, you know. And you know, I kind of watched what was happening with freestyle motocross, and like right when I had kind of left Moto Triple X, and right at the time that I'd finished up doing the Crush video, like Nitro Circus came out with their first movie, and that's when I teamed up with Mike McIntyre to do On the Pipe One. And I was living and working for Moto Triple X in Santa Barbara at least 2 or 3 days a week. This kid, Jack Krause, would come into our office. He's also known as Jackpot. He'd come into my office and just, you know, shoot the shit with me and say, Jay, you got to come check out my property up in the wine country, up in the Santa Barbara Mountains, San Ynez. And I finally went up there when I was making the Transworld Crush video, and I was blown away how epic his property was and just the green rolling hills. And so, you know, we had filmed some big jumps at Castillo Ranch with guys tricking some pretty big jumps. And I was like, you know what? I live right here. This is more the direction I want to go. So while Nitro Circus and Travis was kind of going their directions with like the steeper ramp and the more technical crazy tricks, I just wanted to go for more distance type of jumps. And I was always infatuated with distance jumping ever since I filmed Sinkmars and some of his huge distance jumps. And then I became good friends with Ryan Capes and started documenting all his world record distance jumps. I'm like, man, let's start taking these tricks to the hills and let's find some natural terrain landings and let's just supersize these things, bring out some heavy equipment, and let's start building lifts further and further back away from this hill. And I remember like we started building some of these first jumps at Jackpot, and then I became friends with the landowner at Danimals. And I built this huge jump for Dan Pastor, and someone's like, no one's going to hit that jump. I'm like, yeah, Pastor's going to hit it. And then someone's like, well, no one's going to trick it. I'm like, well, after Pastor hits it, Dustin Miller's going to come in and he's going to trick it. And they're like, what? No. And I'm like, yes, trust me. Like, it's going to happen. And I just loved being up there in the wine country up there. It's just so pretty. And so once we kind of found Danimals, I was like, wow, this is it. This is like the holy grail. And so we, every year I just kind of went, would go out there and just kept financing to build bigger and bigger jumps until that place is what it is today, which I believe is like the biggest free ride super park in the world. There's no other spot in the world, hands down, that has bigger free ride jumps than Danimals. I mean, like the last thing we did in Narnia, I think is like 6 jumps in a row that Colby and I designed. And it's like ending with a 200 footer into a 250 foot jump. Wow. That just doesn't exist anywhere. Not at Imagination, not at Axel's place. That's the only place in the world right now. So that was kind of my contribution to the sport, other than just, I didn't want to just be another filmmaker that was just showing up at a track and just, you know, documenting. I mean, yeah, I did. I did do that and filmed with Carmichael and Villopoto and all the legends, but like, I didn't want to just be another guy that's just going to go somewhere and document dudes off ramps. I wanted to push the progression just by financing, building my own jumps, basically. And I think that's what kind of made the On the Pipe series special.
Yeah, for sure. And even the backflip distance record, which originally was you were doing with Wes Agee and then ended up being filled in with McNarls there, Brian McCarty. And I talked to you during that whole thing a little bit, and you were like, I've put all this money into all these ramps and stuff and building all this stuff. So that's good, though. Like you said, a lot of people aren't, they're just accessing what's already there versus helping the sport progress. And even, I don't know where your input was on the quarter pipe, but didn't you film that whole original quarter pipe out in the hills?
Well, the first quarter pipe for Moto that was done was actually designed by Brian Manley and Doug Parsons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that you documented that.
I did film it, but that was their deal. And I did filming. And then I ended up going on and filming Renner in Chicago, do his quarter pipe thing, and then train at Wyvern. Definitely, whether I've been there to help put money in and build the jump, or whether I've just gone and documented, I've always been fascinated with progression and just to see how big and far and high these guys can go.
Yeah, well, we need people like you to either way help out or just even document and put it out there, because, you know, back in the day there was all these guys doing stuff that I'm sure didn't get the respect they deserved because nobody was there to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely different now. It's like, it's hard to even if you're doing something and building something private now, it's just everyone with their phone. It's so hard to even control the footage from being leaked. But it's been an incredible ride. And me and Doug Parsons went on to do that first natural terrain contest. Well, technically, it wasn't the first. The very first one was the Blue Torch Moto Survival Tour, which I was on with Moto Triple X because we had a team. And that was cool because that was just kind of like straight natural terrain, no shovel built jumps. And I believe it was like Krusty had a team, Etney's had a team, Moto Triple X, Metzger had a team, you know, and that was when like Metzger had Dustin Miller on it. And I was like, who's this kid? Dang, this kid's sick, you know? And like, so there's all these, like, you're seeing these new, the next generation, you know? But then I went on to, once I started building these jumps, like at the same time as On the Pipe One, Doug and I did the Ride to the Hills, produced some TV shows on that. And that was so successful that Red Bull came to us and bought the event off us. And then we made more jumps the following year and then took it on the road the year after that. And that was a great thing. And then it kind of, that type of free ride contest kind of took a break until, I guess, now the Red Bull Imagination type of thing.
Well, I was going to say that, which I don't think is the same. It's still not the same. I still think that what you guys did was different, being actual, and I want to watch what I say, not make anybody mad. But like, they have built a course, which is awesome. The course is amazing, but it still doesn't represent what you guys were doing, which is actual true free riding where you have to find jumps. And if you are, even say you even use a shovel, your jump has to still be 90% there prior to you touching it with a shovel, which I still think is a different thing and would be awesome now. It's crazy that we had all these really cool contests in the beginning and they've basically dwindled down to like a ramp and a landing other than Imagination, but it's still a groomed course.
Yeah. And, you know, I think along with that, it was totally different. I agree with you, Clint. It was a different thing, had a different vibe. And on top of just the actual course or the natural jumps on top of that, they have a different philosophy, which honestly is the philosophy of kind of where the sport has gone that I believe Monster and Red Bull and X Games have kind of pushed the sport, which is more into whips, right? Whereas I like the whips. You know, I always thought the whips are cool. I mean, but whips have been around since, geez, John Michelle Bell, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
Airtime Cooper.
Yeah, or Guy Cooper. But like for me, it wasn't just about like the jump. It was about what this guy could do off that jump, you know? So I wanted to have the best riders out at our event, which I think Red Bull Imagination is rad, but are the best riders out there?
And I've had this conversation with Steve Sommerfeld a bunch, and it's like once they brought in Julian Van Stippen, who can do big tricks and big flips, I'm like, we've now almost opened it up to where it's a regular freestyle contest and we really have to think about getting guys like Brody Wilson, you know, McNarls, which he was there. Brody, they had talked to him last year and then he like destroyed his shoulder, so he didn't get to go. But that was my thing, exactly like you're saying. Like, I love Josh Hill. I like what he's doing for the sport, but he's a different type of rider than a Brody Wilson. You know what I mean? Any of these, even Jacko, like all those guys are going to go to those jumps. Javier, they're going to go to those jumps and then start tricking the biggest ones that they have there. And it becomes a different contest.
Yeah, it becomes a different contest. And you actually, you progress the sport in a different direction, you know? Whereas like, somebody like a Josh or a Colby or an Axel, they might do a transfer that maybe those other guys won't do. But then, I mean, now he's retired, but somebody like a Dustin Miller in his prime, he would have rode that whole course. He would have tricked it all.
Todd Potter.
Yeah.
I would love to have seen Potter on a course like that, even just his fakies and all that stuff. Like the way that dude rode was ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's cool that they're now bringing in those guys. So it's almost like it should be a different division or something. Or
I think that may be true. Two classes, right? Like the whip or like the whatever you want to call them, Zen riders or something. You know what I mean? Versus like the dudes that are going full balls to the wall, KOD flips on 200 foot and, you know, rock solids at 250.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. It's like on a course like that, where the landings, they're not that big, you know, they're good size, but they're not Danimals landings, right? Like, I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit more dangerous for guys to be doing 200 foot trick flips or whatever out there, right? Whereas like, if we could get everybody all together and go to Danimals, now you have hill jumps. Yeah. People can like, you know, slowly step onto and go further and further and further. And I feel like the progression would explode if you had all the best trick dudes out at Danimals. And then maybe you have a separate division out at Danimals, since we have so many jumps in a row. That's like, all right, here's the speed and style division, you know, and then here's just a straight FMX division. All right, here's going to be the big air contest off the 250. You can choose if you want to do the 250 or if you want to do the 200, you know, and here's your best trick, big air, you know, and do something like that. I think we would then see the progression go to that next level that we've kind of ventured a little bit into in like some of my movies and stuff. But it's like they just need, like, if you look at what Javier's been doing like the last month or two, you know, just out there, he's got the good landing and he's got a hill jump. So you just keep making different lips further and further back, and you bring the right guys out there and just make it a no pressure thing. You know, I think you're going to see the next evolution of, I don't know what you would call it, if it's freestyle or free riding or whatever it is.
Javier, by the way, has flipped, there's 5 or 6 different jumps that he's been flipping. He keeps going doing different ones and doing all of his flip tricks on it.
Yeah, he's been flipping for a while. Like, I remember in On the Pipe 6, I went out and filmed out at that same spot that Metzger flipped and Twitch flipped. I forget, in Richie Canyon. And I remember when he did like either a Superman or C-Crab flip, something he did. And I was just like, damn, dude, this guy's the real deal. You know, Javier's gnarly. And then he went into kind of more contest and just doing the demos and stuff like that.
He's got kids, Jay. He's got kids. He's got to pay for his kids.
I know. I invited him out for Narnia, out to Danimals, but he was busy doing something and he couldn't come out. But man, I wanted to see what that guy would do out at Danimals, because I was like, fuck, dude.
I'm biased because he's one of my best friends in FMX.
Okay.
But totally underrated, in my opinion.
Well, he's always been underrated. He's always been a gnarly dude. He's, as far as just like a dude that has the gnar factor and will huck it, he's right there with McNarls and all those guys, you know, and he's so humble and cool and down to earth. I've always just loved working with him and just loved his attitude about the sport, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jay, kind of give us a glimpse into what you're working on right now or what you're up to these days.
So I recently partnered up with Colby Raha and we made a movie called Narnia, and that came out October 17th of last year. Unfortunately, let me just tell a little bit about the movie, because Narnia, it lives up to its name. And I don't know, Clint, I think Clint, you got to see it, right?
So, yeah.
Would you agree it lives up to its name?
Yeah, it's definitely, everybody's getting gnar for sure. And it's definitely out of the box as far as obstacles they're riding and the things that they're doing in that, which I really enjoyed.
You know, the sport, you know, with Link Ogle was kind of the first guy that I know of. I mean, I'm sure there was other guys, like even Metzger, but Link Ogle was kind of the first guy. I'll never forget watching that Wiener Schnitzel thing that he did, you know, like kind of airing up onto the Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah.
And so the urban thing has really taken off a lot, you know, so that was something that Colby wanted in there in the movie. And, you know, then we, I think one day I got a DM from Scott Kraniak, AKA Scranny. We call him Scranny. Is it Scraniac the Maniac or something? but he wanted in and he had all this stuff. So I went and filmed a lot of his part with him and his team, Kyle Crabb and Tyler. And yeah, dude, I really believe that he had the most insane urban part in Narnia. And then Jason Borowski's part was insane too. And Colby also had some really insane shit. But Scranny's just, dude, he's just so like creative and off the wall, like the stuff that he's doing. And I like when I would show up at these places, I'm like, I don't know. He's like, kind of like Scranton's kind of the first guy that I'm like, I don't know, dude. I don't know if this is really doable. I don't know if you should do this. And I really haven't said anything like that to anybody in a while, but he was committed and he went for it.
Because he's some random guy. The first time I met him too, I went out to Bakersfield to ride with Chuck, and he's like, my friend Scranny's coming, and we go, and it's like some random guy. Then he starts riding and I'm like, yo, this dude is super technical. Like, he is very talented. And I'm like, how come nobody knows who this is? So I could imagine from your point, you show up to film and he's like, I'm going to jump onto this billboard deck or whatever. And you're like, yeah. Bro, maybe you should settle down a little bit. And then he starts pulling stuff and you're like, okay, never mind. He's very talented.
Yeah, no, he's super talented and funny as hell and creative. Filming that type of stuff with Scranny was actually one of the things that kind of really gave me a spark, like a stoke again, you know, because I felt like, I mean, after you've been filming everything for 25 years, you know, you're kind of like, oh, I filmed it all. Okay, this guy's doing a bigger flip. Cool. But other than distance jumping, there wasn't really a ton of stuff that really kind of gave me that stoke, you know? The stuff at Danimals does, because me and Colby built that line out there, and actually in Black Friday, and the Metal Militia, I almost forgot about that movie, the Metal Militia Black Friday movie I made in 2011, Wes Agee, yeah. Well, actually Dan Pastor and Wes Agee are like, yeah, let's make this 250-foot jump, but it wasn't quite tall enough and big enough, and so it was there, it was sitting there. But I told Colby, I'm like, hey, this jump's already there. But like, Wes was the only guy to really trick it back in 2010. He said that we needed to make it bigger. Let's make it bigger. And I was like, I have this idea to make this 200 footer into it. So we filmed that thing and we brought the Beverly Hills Aerials out. They're like the best drone team on earth, hands down. Like the stuff that they were doing, you know, flying red cameras, you know, keeping up with the riders off those jumps. I mean, there's footage and angles in Narnia that it still have never been seen. Quite like that. Like, it's just a different style of filming. And then of course we did the helicopter stuff, but that stuff that we did out at Danimals, you know, and Colby and Tyler Berryman throwing 250-foot whips and Jared McNeil and who else was out there throwing tricks? Jimmy Hill did like a pendulum, you know, Indian Air pendulum.
Another super underrated, technical, talented guy.
For sure. And Jared McNeil was like, damn, dude. He's like, I'm on a 252 stroke. I don't even know if I can get over this thing. But he was tricking it. You know, he was tricking it 240 feet. And like, those are the biggest free ride tricks that have ever been seen. That type of stuff gets me stoked. You know, when I see progression happening like that, whether it's there, whether it's in the urban stuff with what Scranny's doing or Jason Borowski and the stuff that Colby was doing, you know, and he's progressing the sport in a different way with the ramp designs that he's building and taking to the washes and all the stuff that he's doing. So that was kind of a movie that was a little less about tricks, but, you know, oh, and let's not forget Adam Jones. Adam Jones came out there on a 252 stroke and he tricked the Sea-Crabbed Indian, the 240-50 footer. And so, you know, props to all those guys, because like, they're not getting paid to do that kind of stuff, you know? So for them to kind of go out and do that for Narnia, you know, I really appreciated it. And, you know, it was great to show, hey, this is possible, you know, maybe a 300-foot trick is possible.
So before meeting Clint, my knowledge of freestyle motocross was very little because I come from an off-road background. So it's just not the side of the industry that I was brought up in or really knew. But I'm going to have to add these movies to my movie list. I'm going to have like a whole weekend of watching freestyle movies, it sounds like. So with Narnia, where can people find that movie?
So something really, really shitty at the highest level happened to me and Colby after we put Narnia out with our original distributor, and we're finally just now getting it back up online. And so you can download the movie on narniafilm.com. That's narniafilm.com. You can download it on there, and at some point it will be back up on Tubi and Pluto and all the free ad streaming sites, and the On the Pipe series, I believe, will be up there as well on the Tubis and all the free ad platforms. Just search On the Pipe, and those will be back up there. We have a new distributor now, and so yeah, that was an unfortunate thing that happened after 3 years of hard work and Colby wrecking his brains out on a gnarly crash, and same with Scranny. Scranny's crash was horrific. There's so many horrible crashes in Narnia. It's hard to even talk about him. Colby had set out to do this long distance jump. He wanted to be the next guy to follow in Capes, Matto, and Harville's footsteps. And so we built this distance jump out there at the Reno Fernley Raceway, and things just didn't go right that first time. And he ended up coming up a little bit short, and he broke his pelvis in half, like clean cracked it in half. And I thought at that point, you know, this movie's over. Let's just, you know, he's lucky to be alive. Let's just pack it up and just edit what we have. And then, you know, I have to give props to Colby, because it takes a lot of, I don't even know what it is. I guess it's just grit to dig deep and come back after you just had like metal put inside your hips and stuff to put yourself back together, to come back and then do the jump again. And then, you know, he went over 300 feet. He went 311 feet, landed way down the landing, and he proved that he can go for world records, you know? So we've had in the works for him to do the dirt to dirt record out at Danimals, and then take it to our jump spot in Fernley. Like, we were going to practice out there, and we're just kind of hoping to get some sponsors behind us to make it happen. Right now, we don't really have any sponsors that really want to get behind it. Colby is now getting on a Stark Varg electric bike, and they've expressed real interest in getting behind our project and helping us out. But we need more sponsors to help us pull it all off. And you don't just go out there and just huck a jump. Okay, you have to have the team in place, and you have to have the right guys. But now we do have the right guys in place, and the guys that helped Ryan Capes and Alex Harville, and we have Alex Harville's ramp, and we have the distance jump landing in Reno. And so we currently have the only true long distance motorcycle jump set up in the world, built an hour away from where I live here in Tahoe. So it's there, it's waiting for us. We're just hoping to get some people on board for that. Yeah. What am I working on now? So Mike McIntyre and I are finally editing. We've been working on it for the last 3 months. We're finally editing. I know you've heard it before, Clint, but this time we're doing it. We're putting out the distance jump documentary, The Daredevil Project, and is the history of long distance jumping from Evel Knievel all the way up to Alex Harville and the guys who have pushed the sport of long distance motorcycle jumping.
Well, thanks for being on our show today. Is there any place that people can connect with you online or social media?
Oh, I'm not a huge poster, but like, I don't post a lot, but when I do, my Instagram is On The Pipe Series, and my Facebook is just Jay Schweitzer. And again, to check out Narnia, you can go to narniafilm.com. And if you do want a hard copy of any of the On The Pipe movies, you can go to powerbandfilms.com. And I think that's pretty much about it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me, you guys. I really appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this episode, follow Pit Pass Moto wherever you get podcasts so you never miss an episode. You can also follow us on social media or visit pitpassmotorsports.com. There you will find our complete episode archive and other exclusive content. This has been a production of Evergreen Podcasts. A special thanks to today's producer, Ray Longfellow, and our executive producer, Gerardo Orlando. I'm Clint Esposito.
And I'm Heather Wilson.
And we hope you'll join us next time for another episode of Pit Pass Moto.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They're able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.